Hello, and welcome to JFK Spotlight on Health, where we talk about the advances in medicine and care at JFK Medical Center in Edison, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. Today, we get to do something a little different. We get to listen to stories and explore emergency medical care from the vantage point of first responders. And the scope of EMS operations have changed over the years. Hackensack Meridian Health JFK Medical Center Emergency Medical Services provides advanced and basic life support ambulance service to communities throughout Central Jersey. They also provide basic life support transport, wheelchair transportation, specialty care transport for all of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network facilities. Here to tell us all about it is Director of EMS Operations, John Iazzetta, and also EMS Director, Mark Bober. JFK EMS has recently expanded its coverage area and new technologies as well, and they're going to tell us all about it. Welcome, gentlemen, to the program.
Thank you for having us.
All right, let's first get into it. I mean, I'm used to talking to the doctors about the advances in healthcare, but a lot of people don't really think about the first responders. When there is an emergency situation, the very people who are there to help you as you are on your way to seek further care. So I would like to get into emergency response with you. As I said, you're usually first on scene, and it must take a tremendous amount of critical thinking and tact to assess a situation. If you could just get me to the point where you are responding to a scene, an often jarring situation, what does it take? What kind of person is that to go to a scene like that and be able to assess and deal with something that's often tragic in some cases?
That's a great question, and I think it's one that a lot of people wonder as they sort of embark on this career and on this path. And many people begin in the volunteer realm as cadets, first responders, maybe for their local town or their municipality. Mm-hmm. And then some people decide that, you know, that environment absolutely is for them, that high-speed lights and sirens, bringing order to the chaos kind of environment. Let's face it, nobody ever calls us when they're having a good day. So
right.
Ultimately, the ability to think clearly when situations are stressful and remember your training, fall back on that training, and really kind of understand that at the core of everything that we do, these are people. These are somebody's family members. These are somebody's friends. And ultimately treating people with that humanity and with that dignity as we go through the things that we need to do, which often are life-saving interventions, mm-hmm. that really is the core of what I think specifically our team does exceptionally well.
Okay. Well, the two of you have been – how long have you been doing it, Mark?
So I've been in this field 11 years at this point.
Okay.
I'm kind of a baby compared to John.
John, how long have you been at it?
I've been in the field 26 years. I actually started out when I was 18 years old.
Wow.
as a cadet, as Mark said, on a volunteer first aid squad.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So between the two of you combined, you must have seen or had your share of some very interesting situations that you've responded to. Tell me some stories. I know you must have – the situation that you often go back to when people ask you, what's it like? What's the worst that you've seen? What is the case that the both of you remember in particular? Just to give us a little bird's eye view into what you do.
So I think from my perspective, part of that question is also the difference between EMTs and paramedics,
okay.
Right? So ultimately, throughout the state, that basic life support level is the EMTs, and they can be municipal-based or volunteer or paid private services. Mm-hmm. And the EMTs do a fantastic job with a lot of the lifting and moving tasks, bringing oxygen, AEDs, starting CPR, really that first line, first responder. And then when you get to that advanced life support level, that's the paramedics. And
okay.
The paramedics are hospital-based in New Jersey, and they essentially bring the first-line life-saving interventions that you would receive in an emergency department into your living room, to the side of the road, wherever the emergency is.
Right.
And so I think that you see a lot more as an EMT, but maybe you see a lot more serious as a paramedic.
Okay.
For me, the story that I always fall back on, and maybe it isn't the worst thing that I've ever seen, is being called in the middle of the night for a woman who was actually okay but wanted help with her taxes.
You're kidding.
And I'm not exactly sure how the dispatch got a little bit screwed up in that process, but sometimes we're simply called there to help people with situations that they don't necessarily know how to deal with themselves. So I kind of wanted to throw you a curveball on that one.
You did, because I was not expecting that.
But it's important from the perspective of somebody getting into this field to understand that you never know what you're going to show up and be a part of in EMS.
Okay. All right. What about you, John?
And I think along the same lines as Mark, it's hard to pick out a specific call or patient that you know really kind of brings everything back. But you start remembering some of the situations a little bit more. Okay. And similar to Mark, I had a patient, an elderly patient who had chest pain or difficulty breathing. And we were preparing to bring her to the hospital. And we knew that she was going to be admitted and she wouldn't be back home for at least a day. And while we were there, there was a pet dog, a younger pet dog. And that pet dog was very, very important to her. And here she is getting ready to leave. She didn't have any family very close by. She knew that it was going to be a couple of hours before anyone actually had the chance to take the dog out for a walk.
Okay.
So prior to bringing this patient to the hospital, we made sure that there was somebody left behind that was able to actually take the dog for a good long walk and then secure the dog back in the house with family on the way eventually to get back to the dog. And something like that is pretty memorable for us.
Okay.
I think ultimately a lot of people, when they ask us those questions at dinner parties or things like that, they're probably thinking in terms of horrific motor vehicle accidents or pediatric drownings or some of the things that have unfortunately pocked our memories over the years as first responders, maybe where we were for 9/11 or what we did during Hurricane Sandy.
Mm-hmm.
And those are some of the moments where EMS really does shine, bring that skill set for delivering order to the chaos right to the forefront when there are so many emergencies going on and so many people that need help that you can't possibly figure out how to triage everybody quickly. But that is what we're called upon to do in those moments.
Right. I mean, you're definitely cut from a different cloth, obviously. You're running to situations that everyone else is running away from. And that takes a special person to do that. So I'm going to say thank you for everything that you do.
Thank you for your support.
Now, there are those times where you are upon those situations, the drownings and the horrible accidents, and you see these time and time again, especially, having long careers like the two of you have had. What kind of impact does it have on you emotionally?
Well, I think it actually has probably a much deeper impact than any of us who do this for a living or even who do it at least a good portion of the time realize. And potentially that's why the first stories that we come up with aren't the bad accidents or the bad outcomes that do occur in everyday life. We see that every day, and it does take a toll on the providers. And what we're starting to realize now more than ever is that first responders do need to be cognizant of the fact that there is an emotional impact, there is a psychological impact in seeing the things that we see every day. And I'm really happy that we're actually in a time now, and especially in our health network at Hackensack Meridian Health, where there is a very big focus on psychological care and understanding that that is and it needs to be treated just like any sort of other problem that you'd have with your lungs or your heart. Your mind is extremely important, and it needs to be – there needs to be no social stigma with it. There needs to be treatment to make everyone mentally well. So in our industry, there is a lot more focus in the past couple of years providers' mental well-being. And I think Mark can kind of talk about some of the programs that we're very interested in right now.
Okay. Yeah, Mark, you were saying earlier before we started that it hasn't always been like this.
No, it hasn't. And obviously, John and I have sort of taken a step back from our frontline roles as administrators. But what we've been able to do is sort of be a part of that movement and foster that focus and that resiliency among our frontline team members who are out there saving lives every day, sometimes in those terrible situations you described and sometimes in austere weather conditions. It's difficult and it does wear on you for time. So for us, we've been very fortunate to partner with our sister EMS agency up out of Hackensack Medical Center.
Mm-hmm.
And Hackensack University Medical Center EMS actually has a robust mental health first aid program that they've actually helped us train with. And they are our first call when we have a horrific incident that involves our providers and maybe is one of those that we identify as a place where somebody could use a little additional support, whether that be formal or informal, whether it be plugging into official lines for additional support or just something that you want to talk it out in a safe setting afterwards with somebody who actually understands.
Right.
You know, it spans that entire spectrum. And we both personally are very happy that we're able to take care of our team members in that way because it's not something that was always available to us.
Okay. And I mentioned the fact that you are running to situations that are dangerous while we're all running away from it for protection. These are life-threatening situations. What training is provided to your staff, to your teams, in order to keep them safe?
That's a great point. And both John and I have worked in environments that are not the safest environments throughout the state of New Jersey. Mm. And once again, that training was not always available to us on the front end. So we're happy to report that that's another tool that we're putting in the toolbox these days for our frontline providers. And a program called Defensive Tactics for EMS, which is a national program, is one that our training center is in the process of teaching not just for our providers, but for also other providers in the area who are interested in gaining those tactics, those situational awareness type of moments. And our landscape has changed a lot in that when we're out there in the public, it's not just about defending ourselves or getting out of those difficult situations. We are almost always being videotaped in the age of social media.
True.
So it can't just be about keeping ourselves safe. It has to be about keeping ourselves safe using the least amount of force necessary and in the most defensible way if it's ever being reviewed by the court of public opinion.
Right, right. Understand.
And in all of our training, you know, growing up through this and even today, one of the first things that emergency medical technicians, paramedics are taught in every module regarding pre-hospital health care, the first two things that come out of everyone's mouth are scene safety and acronym called BSI, which is a body substance isolation, essentially having your gloves on or having your mask on if the patient has any sort of respiratory-borne illness or potential for infection.
Right.
And everyone kind of just glances over the scene safety piece. We're not law enforcement officers. Our job is to treat patients, but we are put into a lot of dangerous situations. So everyone really needs to be reminded in our field that scene safety is very, very important, and you really need to be cognizant of it. It's not just power lines at a motor vehicle accident that might be dangling after a car hit a telephone pole.
Wow.
It could be going into a house and understanding that a patient is very agitated because they're not in the right mental state, whether it's because they're deprived of oxygen or because they're under some sort of substance. We have to be cognizant of scene safety all the time.
You're listening to JFK Spotlight on Health. I'm Raquel Williams, and we are here with Director of EMS Operations John Iazzetta and EMS Director Mark Bober. We are talking about what they do, being on the front lines, and when we come back, we'll focus on some of the advances in technology that kind of make what they do a bit easier, and we'll do that when we come back in a moment. You're listening to JFK Spotlight on Health. I'm Raquel Williams, and this is the program where we talk about the advances in medicine and care at JFK Medical Center in Edison, part of the Hackensack Meridian Health Network. We are talking about emergency medical services that's provided, and usually these are the people that are on the front lines, the first people that you see. Like you said earlier, you don't really get calls for good things. Obviously, something is happening when people are calling on EMS operations, and I wanted to talk more about the advances in technology. Obviously, things probably, I'm thinking, have changed since maybe over the past 20 years where EMS operations are concerned. Take me through the process. Someone picks up the phone, they dial 911. What exactly happens at that point before you get to the person's home or when you get to the person's home or location? How does that work?
So initially, when we get the assignment, everybody kind of gets in the ambulance and responds to the scene of wherever they're needed. While they're responding, we're already putting a lot of that technology to bear. A lot of the EMS vehicles today, they're tracked by GPS. Okay. And automatic vehicle location systems. They're dispatched by computer-aided dispatch software. When I first started out in EMS, we didn't have any of the software technology that allowed, even for when you were calling 911, pre-arrival instructions were just starting. Nowadays, everything is very scripted, and there are software platforms that will allow the dispatcher to understand exactly what's going on, what question to ask next, so that they could start providing care for that patient immediately. So essentially, inside the vehicle, while responding, you know, with GPS and AVL, they're getting there a little bit quicker, and they're able to make patient contact even sooner.
And it's funny that you bring up the point of calling 911 as sort of the place where this technology begins, because it actually starts before that. Oh. At this point, we employ predictive modeling. So we use our historical data of time of day, day of week, to actually determine where we predict the next 911 call will come.
Wow.
And we situate our ambulances as close to that hotspot on our map, almost kind of like a weather map, to make sure that our response times are as brief as they possibly can be. So long before you ever pick up the phone to call 911, we're doing our best to try and position our ambulance in an optimal place to get to you quickly.
Wow, I didn't think of that. Obviously, for holidays, certain holidays, you pretty much know where the hot spots are and the time of day or evening. Super Bowl Sunday's coming up.
Right.
Sure. Things
the,
of that nature.
Sure. The software's taking years' worth of data, and they know certain times of the day, certain days of the week, there's going to be more people in this general area versus that general area. And throughout the history that it's looking at, they know that, you know, there will be 911 calls for help in this specific area. So you move to that area, you don't know what street that call is going to be at. You don't know what house that call is going to be at. But the software is smart enough to understand that there is a pretty high likelihood that there will be a call in that specific area. So you move into that direction ahead of time, and your response is a lot quicker.
Wow. And that's what it's all about, fast response.
Exactly. In those time-sensitive emergencies, when you talk about things like traumas or strokes or heart attacks, where time is muscle, time is brain, you know, we preach these mantras over and over again in the field, and the goal is to quickly identify what's going on, quickly move towards definitive care so that that blood vessel can be opened or that medication can be given.
Right.
You know, obviously cardiac arrest scenarios where every second that passes matters if somebody's not having CPR performed on them. We really do pride ourselves on our ability to be in the right place at the right time to get there quickly. And I used to be a skeptic myself. I used to wonder how you could just sort of gaze into a crystal ball and know where the next 911 job was going to come.
Right.
But I think John did a really good job of kind of describing that it's much more about population migration and historical patterns.
Right. Fascinating. Now, do the doctors know at the hospitals what to expect when you're on your way to the hospital with a patient? How does that communication work?
So in New Jersey, we're very fortunate that, as I had alluded to earlier, paramedics are always hospital-based. And one of the regulations that we operate under dictates that paramedics make contact with the hospital on the way in every single time. So every patient encounter we're a part of, we are conferring with a physician. And that's usually over the phone. Some places have a little bit more of a robust technology that allows them to input some of their charting information to the ED on the way. Mm-hmm. Other places rely on that verbal phone call. But ultimately, we are always working side by side with the emergency department, making sure that the care that we're rendering is appropriate and making sure that they're prepared for us as we walk in the door, especially with those time-sensitive emergencies where you need to engage a multidisciplinary team within the hospital. If somebody needs to go to the cath lab, the emergency department, the interventionalists, they all need to be aware of what we're coming in with and how soon we're going to be there. Mm-hmm. And I think at JFK and throughout the Hackensack Meridian Health Network, we do a fantastic job of shaving those minutes off when they really matter.
Awesome. Awesome. And what's happening in the ambulance at that point? There's some life-saving measures that you have to take, I guess, as you're transporting a patient to the hospital, depending on the situation, yes?
Sure.
Sure, Raquel. Actually, there's a lot of treatment getting done, especially with paramedics. The paramedics at JFK Medical Center and around the state, they're able to do a lot of, as Mark said earlier in the program, they're allowed to initiate a lot of the first-line treatment that a patient would get in the emergency room. We're just bringing that first line out to them in the field. So paramedics, actually first emergency medical technicians on the basic life support units, they're able to initiate oxygen therapy, put the patient on oxygen if that's what they require. They're able to stop major bleeding, apply a tourniquet if that's what's needed, splint fractures, begin transport to the hospital. When the patient does require it, advanced life support will arrive and they'll actually start an IV on a patient and they can administer drugs. The amount of drugs in an advanced life support formulary now, I don't even know anymore how many there are. There are so many that they can provide. Those are all frontline treatments. All the paramedic units, they carry an EKG. So we're going to be actually putting a patient on a heart monitor. We're going to be evaluating all of their vital signs, including their heart rhythm and their rate. And we have medications and electricity with a defibrillator to be able to correct arrhythmias or when the heart is beating out of control.
I also think that the ability to transmit that EKG ahead of us so that it's at the ED and already being looked at by the time we get there is another huge step that EMS has taken within the last 10 to 15 years, making sure that what we see in the field is what they're seeing in the emergency department. And to John's point about the EMTs, the basic life support, arriving on scene first, what I think we really pride ourselves on in our department and within our agency is their ability to really detect the subtleties of some of the emergencies. For instance, a heart attack does not always present like that 10 out of 10 elephant sitting on your chest, right, crushing chest pain.
Right, right.
For instance, we know that in the elderly female diabetic population, they actually present very differently. And sometimes it's just a general weakness or maybe a mild nausea.
Mm.
But we train our basic life support providers to understand those nuanced cases as well and cast a very wide net when it comes to seeing somebody who maybe is having a stroke, but they're not presenting with that slurred speech or that facial droop.
Right, right.
Instead, they're just having a little bit of a balance or a coordination issue. So the ability to really identify the subtle cases is what I think our team does better than or as well as anybody else in the state.
Awesome. Lifesavers. I understand that there are two communication centers now. Is that a part of the new technology available?
So recently, actually, JFK Medical Center EMS got much larger than it was prior to the start of 2020. Actually, Alert Ambulance Service, which was a division of medical transport for Hackensack Meridian Health for the entire network and consisting of about 350 employees, actually merged into JFK EMS, another provider within the Hackensack Meridian Health network family, making JFK Medical Center EMS now close to 500 employees strong.
Wow.
And we just found that there were a lot of synergies that we could bring together, bringing Alert Ambulance Service and JFK Medical Center EMS together. Alert Ambulance Service typically focused on the non-emergency transport and a wheelchair transport, inner facility, moving patients from a community hospital to a tertiary hospital where they might need open heart surgery. We would also take care of bringing a lot of patients home after they were discharged, especially patients who reside in nursing homes. So that piece was something that Alert Ambulance focused on, while JFK Medical Center EMS focused more on the pre-hospital 911 EMS. And bringing us together, we're kind of able to do it all together. But Alert Ambulance Service, with our size and our ability to service the entire network, we also had a lot of other pieces that really came to benefit JFK Medical Center EMS, where we had a large human resources contingent. We had a compliance and risk piece that we're bringing into JFK EMS, and it's kind of just bringing the best of both worlds together.
Okay.
And we do have two communication centers. We have one down in Lakewood and one in Edison.
Okay.
So it kind of just doubled everything that we're able to do.
Well, believe it or not, we have about a minute left.
Sure.
The time has flown by, but I understand that there is a recruitment effort underway. Yes, you're looking for a few good men, women as well, to join the team.
Certainly. And if you sort of listen to this and find yourself in that group of people we described where panic isn't really what you do, maybe you are able to think things through clearly when you're in that emergency situation, or maybe you are the person that everybody else looks to when things are starting to get a little bit crazy. I would say if you've never tried your hand at EMS before, it would definitely be something worthwhile to check out because it sounds like you're the type of person that would excel in the environment in which we work.
Okay. And so how can people get more information? Where should they go?
Sure. So right now, the Hackensack Meridian Health website is the best place. There is a career opportunities tab on that website. So go to HMH. And ultimately, if you click on those links, you come across our desks, and we'll be more than happy to either set up observation shifts or interviews or what have you. So it would be definitely a great time to join the team.
Okay, awesome. We've been speaking with Director of EMS Operations John Iazzetta and also EMS Director Mark Bober, both here telling us all about their experiences being on the front lines. Once again, thank you for all you do. Thank you for the life-saving measures that you take when you arrive on scene. Both of you have been a wealth of information. Thanks so much for your time today.
Appreciate it. Thank you.